Accessing library computer data.
And to make sure history never forgets the name Enterprise.
Hey everybody, welcome to the Penske File. We are here continuing our Let's Watch of Star Trek The Next Generation. This is a podcast that is going through all 178 episodes of Star Trek The Next Generation. And right now we're up to episode 22 of season 1. This one's called Symbiosis. And the quick plot breakdown of this is, in this episode, Captain Picard tries to mediate a trade dispute between two codependent neighboring planets regarding medical supplies, which turn out to be narcotic drugs. This one was directed by Wynn Phelps, and the teleplay credit goes to Robert Lewin, Richard Manning, and Hans Beimler. The story credit goes to Robert Lewin. It aired back in April 18th, 1988. And in this one, we're going to be joined by Amy, my lovely wife. I've forced her to sit down and watch this one with us. So we'll get her opinion as a non-Star Trek fan right after this break.
They're beaming over to replacement coil.
That's great. And that'll fix us up.
Yes, once it's installed.
Right. And how do we do that?
What is the matter with these people? How can you be captain of that vessel and not understand its simplest function?
Captain, how long have you been in command of this freighter?
7 years. This is my 26th voyage to Freca.
And you don't know how to align a control coil?
It's never come up.
Hey, everybody, welcome back. Hope you enjoyed that little clip. And hope everyone is doing well. So I'm sitting here with Amy, my lovely wife. How are you?
Hey, guys. Doing well.
Good.
So, excited to talk about Symbiosis.
So I've been forcing you to sit down and watch a lot of Star Trek, right?
Yes.
And we haven't watched. We watched Best of Both Worlds. We watched a couple other ones.
I don't remember the titles.
This one is not Best of Both Worlds quality. But this one's called Symbiosis. So what'd you think of this episode?
I actually like this episode. Was happy when it was going on, because sometimes the ones that get overly technical, I'm like writing down what I think they're saying and I really don't know what it means. So,
yep.
But this one I liked. It was a little bit different.
Yeah, we watched Schisms, which I think is a 5th season episode, and there's a lot of techno babble in that one. But this is not in the same lines as that. So it's a pretty simple episode. It has to deal with drug addiction, right?
Yep.
And you've watched a couple of the first season ones with me so far?
Yeah, I probably watched about half of the first season with you, and then we kind of jumped around to later seasons.
Yeah.
So the beginning of the first season is pretty bad, and the writing's kind of bad, and the acting's a little stiff. But this one, I felt was really watchable, thoughtful.
Yeah, no, it's the first half of the first season is like bad. I've been watching these
definitively bad,
and I didn't really remember how the episodes broke down, but a lot of the first half of the season is really bad, and I feel like we're hitting a point where the episodes are becoming okay. The past like 3 or 4 I think have been 3s on my rating. And this one's pretty good. I agree with you. I think that it's the it gets a little heavy-handed at some points. The Wesley and Yar speech toward the end, where it's like an after school special.
Well, yeah, Will Wheaton as Wesley in that scene is just, he's just like, why would anyone ever want to take drugs? What are drugs?
Yeah, not, not his fault, but the script is really bad.
But his acting
point
is also very stiff.
Yeah, he's one of the worst. And he's also battling with Natasha Yar at this point. And Yar is certainly one of the...
Yeah.
Denise Crosby is certainly one of the worst actors at this point in the series. Yeah. She doesn't stick around for very long, though, as you've probably realized.
That did feel very after school, especially. But Data was the best part of that, just with his shifty glances.
You do love Data. So
I do love
Data. What happens in this episode is that there's a... it opens in sort of like a sketchy, like a SNL sketch of what Star Trek might be like, where we were both laughing, where the cold open is... The Enterprise responds to a distress call. It's kind of a bad cold open in that nothing really happened. The cold open exists only to
cause problems later on where they can't do things cleanly, like they can't transport or anything. But the Enterprise is exploring a part of space where a sun is going supernova or something irrelevant like that. And it's causing a lot of electromagnetic distortions. So the ship functions are kind of limited. And they get a distress call from a freighter. And they respond to this distress call. And it's basically like the Beverly Hillbillies are running a freighter.
Yeah, they seem just, you know, Picard and his, like, tightly coordinated network of, like, constant problem solving and critical thinking is asking questions about how the ship is functions, and they're just like, yep, no,
do you think,
I don't know.
So, yeah, we can do a little bit of role play. I'll be Picard. You can be the captain of the freighter, okay?
Yep.
Captain, what's your situation over there?
I don't know. It's pretty bad.
Everyone can stop talking at once. I need one person to tell me. Is your engines working?
No, they're not working.
Can you tell me where your engine is?
No.
We're doing great. They say everything's great. They're basically coming across like a surfer from California or something.
Yeah, they seem really stupid and out there.
So it's a
and Picard, what is the matter with these people?
I think he asks, are they crazy? He goes, are these people crazy? And it's the first time, I don't know if it ever happens in Star Trek again, where you actually run into a crew that is like totally non-functional, as these guys are.
Yeah, which we find out why later.
So they come aboard the ship, they beam their cargo over first, and then they beam themselves. And we are introduced to two sets of characters who I can't remember what the planet names are. Breckens.
The man and women, that are attractive. They look like Ken and Barbie.
Yep.
They're Breckians. And then the other two guys are Onarans.
Onarans or something like that. So it's the A and B's. Like the writer just stuck with an A and B name. And the Breckens are very well dressed, or Breckians, whatever they are, and the Onarans or whatever the A side are.
They're a hot mess.
They're dressed in overalls, and they basically are acting like meth addicts as they come aboard the ship. And you know, the whole thing sort of breaks down where the Breckians are supplying the other guys, the junkies, with this drug called Felicium. I think it's something like that.
Yeah.
And they're the sole source of this drug, and they're giving it to these guys because the Anorans, whatever, think that they have a plague on their planet, and this is the only medicine that makes people feel better because everyone is suffering on their planet. They're basically tweaking out, going crazy, losing their minds. And these guys, the Breckians, provide them with a drug that fixes all that.
Well, I think they know it's not a plague. I think the Onarans know
that. No, the Onarans don't.
They're that... Yeah, okay.
Well, that gets resolved later in the episode. Yeah. Where... So, what sets up here is that the dealers are supplying the users with this drug. And it's pretty clear that it's a narcotic and they basically just need this to survive. And the Breckians are exploiting this symbiosis, as it's called in the episode, to their betterment, and leaving the other guys, the junkies, with this sort of drug addiction to this drug. And the final thing that ties this whole episode together is whether or not the Enterprise can interfere due to the Prime Directive about whether or not they can get involved in what is seemingly a criminal enterprise, or would be considered a criminal enterprise by human standards.
Yeah, and the main... You know, I guess the conflict is played out by Crusher and Picard, which I thought was an interesting part of this episode because, well, Wes knows way more about Star Trek than I do, but I guess Gene Roddenberry's vision with this show was that there would be no... The humans had evolved to the point where they weren't in conflict with one another, right?
Humans are basically perfect in this universe for the most part.
But that's interesting because Crusher and Picard are acting out this moral conflict.
Right, but they're not having an interpersonal conflict. They're having a sort of workplace argument. You know what I mean? They don't actively dislike each other.
I mean, they have workplace arguments about logistically what's the best course of action, but this one was more of an underlying different two sets of beliefs where Crusher thought, you can't just sit back and watch this one group of people exploit and just continue to beat down and make the Onarans more and more desperate and dependent on them. She felt action and doing something was more meaningful versus Picard's notion of kind of this isolationist thing where it's not in our best interest, nor is it in his mind morally right to interfere with the workings of another civilization.
Right, but I agree, that's the fundamental like thing, that the conflict that drives the episode, but he's being driven by, those are his orders. Like, that's Starfleet's prerogative. That's how they sort of interact with other species. Her thing is completely sort of unprofessional. I mean, it's the correct argument, I think, you can make, but it's not the way that the Prime Directive, like, not to put you on the spot, could you sum up the Prime Directive? Do you understand what they mean when they kept saying Prime Directive?
I think so. That the Enterprise's role is continuous exploration and learning about the universe, not to tamper in the lives or the inner workings of different civilizations, whether it be, you know, their day-to-day lives or their legal system or whatever. Yep. That's not their role to judge it. It's really their role to observe it and respect how it goes and to be a mediary.
Yep. No, the Prime Directive is basically non-interference. You can't impart your beliefs on another alien system. So that's Picard's overriding, sort of prerogative, to say it again. That's the thing that he has to most uphold in these kind of situations. And it's probably the most interesting episode where they bring in the Prime Directive, because it's such a, it's like a base level thing where you get, like, seeing the drug addicts, basically, that they are. And it's a kind of a weird thing to split apart how the Prime Directive fits into that. You know what I mean?
Where they can't interfere with it,
you mean? Well, yeah, because a lot of, like, the Prime Directive episodes are ones where they're like, they have a lot of guns, we need guns. And they're like, no, we won't give you any guns.
Yeah,
like,
this is a totally, totally non-interference. They were more hands-off than before. They couldn't react.
Right, it's more hands-off, and it's also, there's only downside, sort of. Like, one group is clearly being exploited over the other because they're drug addicts, and they've also ceased to remember, like, how to do anything. They can't fly ships. They can't fix anything. They're barely functional.
Yeah, which, something else I just thought of on that point. So the Onarans are, you know, pretty much rendered desperate and wholly dependent on the Brekkians for these drugs, for which they need every 72 hours. Otherwise, they go through these withdrawal symptoms that look like heroin withdrawal.
Yeah, they're very exact. With their number of hours.
They're like, we need this in 72 hours. But what's interesting about the Onarans is that they have this innate electrical charge. So they have this weapon within them, basically. You know, if they were to touch, if they want to attack another being, they just have to put their hand on them and they start electrocuting them, basically.
Yeah.
But so that's kind of interesting too, because they're really powerful. You know, they have this potential, literally, within them that they're, like, not using. Look at me. I'm being an English teacher. Go write a thesis statement about that.
They have this kinetic charge within them.
But I thought that was kind of interesting.
No, it's weird. I don't know what the point of it in the episode is. It's the only function to have that is when they attack Riker, because it wouldn't make sense for them to have weapons.
But I kind of think it's to show that they could be a powerful race, where they once were. In the beginning of the episode, when Data is researching the Onarans and the Brekkians, I don't know what the timeline was, but hundreds of years ago or whatever, the Onarans were actually more evolved than the Brekkians. Yep. They were a technologically advanced race, and the Brekkians weren't.
Yep.
And I don't know if I'm missing details, but it seems as though the Brekkians the Brekkians had this plague.
They all had a plague.
Yeah, discovered this drug that they could naturally grow, you know, created this dependence for which they needed the drug over and over again, and then the Brekkians started selling it to the Onarans.
Right. So they cured the plague with this drug, but the side effect is that you get addicted to the drug. And that supplanted the plague as a thing. And then 200 years ago, everything flip-flopped. So the technologically advanced group sort of became junkies. and the unadvanced group took advantage of them and became supreme rulers of their two planets, in a sense.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't think the electricity really did. It's really just, it's only there just because you can't have them have a weapon, you know?
I guess, yeah, but I thought it was, like, kind of a cool addition to their characters. They weren't totally powerless.
No, they're not powerless.
They'd lost any drive to be anything useful, mm-hmm. other than addicted to drugs. but maybe we can talk about what Picard does at the end.
Yep.
Because he spends the whole episode basically, like, digging in his heels to Crusher and is like, no, I'm not, you know, Crusher's as asking Picard to not allow the transfer of the drugs back to the Onaran planet because she sees this as exploitation. This is very upsetting for her. Mm-hmm. And she's like, you're basically allowing this exploitation to happen. Morally, you can't do that. And Picard's like, well, I have to do that. It's the Prime Directive.
Beverly, the Prime Directive is not just a set of rules. It is a philosophy, and a very correct one. History has proved again and again that whenever mankind interferes with a less developed civilization, no matter how well-intentioned that interference may be, the results are invariably disastrous.
It's hard to be philosophical when faced with suffering.
Believe me, Beverly, there was only one decision.
I just hope it was the right one.
And we may never know.
But then, to
set it up, both groups want them to beam the drugs down to the planet. And they also want the Enterprise, which had previously been going along with this, they want them to fix the engines for their ships. They only have a couple ships left because they have grown so addicted to the drug that they can't maintain themselves, so the ships are falling apart. So the Enterprise has created two essentially new engine cores for these ships, and they're going to give them to them to provide them with power. And in the meeting before they go down, Picard and Crusher have this interaction with the Brekkians, who are the drug dealers, say that because we have this Prime Directive, we can't stop you from exploiting this other group because that would be interference. So at the very end, when they're going to beam them down, Picard, who had previously promised these engine cores, says he's going to give the drugs to the people and let them go on their way, but he also won't give them the engine cores. And so this is a big brouhaha because their engines are falling apart and they won't be able to ship the drug effectively in the future unless they get help from the Enterprise. So Picard has used the Prime Directive in two cases, even though he seemed like he was going to break the Prime Directive in the first place by giving them the engines. He has used both sides of the Prime Directive coin to get what he wants. He doesn't interfere with the drug trade culture of the planets. And he also doesn't give them the engines that they need to continue their habits. So that will, you know, in his eyes, lead to the breaking of their addiction as they go forward. And that's his ultimate plot, and that's how it breaks down.
Yeah.
What'd you think?
Picard swooping in at the end with a surprise. I didn't see that coming. I thought he was just going to send them on their way. Especially at the end, the very last scene when they're leaving, he's just like, let's just get away from this place. I don't even care where we go.
It's very much leaving
like
the ghetto.
Getting away from the projects. Like,
roll up the windows and just turn your music down and get the fuck out of there.
Yeah. Picard did not like that. His panties were ruffled.
So, what'd you think overall?
That was a pretty good episode. I mean, as far as, like, first season episodes go, it's one of the better first season episodes, but not, certainly, I don't know if it holds up to some of the later episodes in terms of its depth.
Yep.
You know, and in terms of, the plot is fairly simple, you know, not too many characters were involved. Like, I didn't get to see a lot of Geordi or a lot of Data, and I love Data.
No, Data doesn't really do anything. This is
beyond Data's scope. It's way too ambiguous for Data.
He can't quite understand what's going on.
He can't draw a straight line between it.
No, it's a... excuse me. I don't think the plot really drags, though. I think it's pretty good plot-wise.
It's very watchable. The episode did not drag. I found it very entertaining. I laughed out loud in the beginning sequence when Picard is trying to communicate with the Onarans as their freighter is failing.
Yeah.
And it's just like these like random cut-ins of Picard trying to reason. Yep.
That's great.
I didn't know you could do that.
Really? I didn't know you could do
didn't
that.
Didn't know you had to go to the transporter room to transport it. Didn't know you had to do that.
Yeah, they're totally non-functional. But, I mean, I think the plot works in and of itself. It doesn't drag particularly too much. Which is a good thing for the first season. It's probably the cleanest. It's a very Star Trek-y episode. It takes like a common problem and sort of inserts itself into the 24th century. Yeah. And has them deal with it.
Yeah, it's a problem that is very relevant, I think, no matter the time period, which is interesting too. And then the last scene of Enterprise's like continued exploration, Geordi just like picks a course because they haven't gone to that area before.
I think it's a pretty strong episode. It has a couple of things that hold it back. Like the ending is not particularly good. The cold open is pretty terrible. It takes way too long to figure out what they're doing. And then the Yar and Wesley after school special part was kind of idiotic too. Everyone sort of gets the idea of what's going on with the drug addiction. I don't think it needs to be spelled out by Wesley Crusher asking why drugs are bad. Okay.
Yeah, I know. And Yara being like, I hope you never have to see that, Wesley.
Was Troy in this episode?
Only very, very shortly. She did like her very Troy-esque comment where they were in a tense situation and she was like, Captain, tensions are rising. In this tense situation.
Oh, right,
situation.
Yeah, they feel...
they were, like, caught in the... they were, like, caught in a magnetic hold or something, and she just was like, this is tense.
Everyone is getting very tense. Yeah. What's happening? No, this...
Oh, see, Troy.
The next episode is Yara's final episode.
Oh, really? She didn't even make it to the end of her season?
Didn't make it to the end of the first season. Mm. Kind of surprising, though, that Troy still sticks around. Denise Crosby, who's Yara, actually has to be let go of the show.
She did?
She did. She has to be let out of her contract.
And she realized how bad she was.
She was not happy with the way her character was going. Mm. Although her character to this point, I mentioned it last time with Clay, her character has gotten more play in these episodes than Troy has.
Her character's important. I mean, she's an important engineer.
Engineer? She's a security chief.
Or security chief, sorry. Yep. Oh, that's right. She's like a...
She's Worf's role.
She's Worf's role. Yeah, that's crazy. Yeah. Worf is so much better.
And Worf is relegated to nothing in these episodes. Yeah. But yeah, she is gone after this episode, or after the next episode. And Troy remains Symbiosis. So what would you give this out of 5? What would you think?
3.5.
Yeah, I think I'd give it a 3.5.
I mean, but it when you're thinking like all of Star Trek, how would you rate it? Or just
no, you
one?
Can't. You can't do that. You have to. Well, yes. You have to compare it to all of Star Trek. But 3. On my rating scale, a 3 is an episode that's pretty good, but you wouldn't show a non-Star Trek fan. A 4 is like a good episode that you'd probably show a fan. A 5 is a classic. A 2 would be a not very good episode that is not really worth watching unless you're a fan. And then 1 is a bad episode.
I'd give that a 3.5, I think. A 3 or 3.5.
Yeah, it's a 3 or 3.5.
I think someone who does not like Star Trek would appreciate it. Or Star Trek, not Star Trek.
Star Trek.
Would appreciate it. I'm still waiting. Sorry, going back to Troy's character.
Yep.
Does she like evolve at all as the series goes on? Does she become more useful?
She gets a couple more roles. She doesn't really She gets a couple more episodes. Her role doesn't really change.
Yeah. Yeah, not too taken with Troy.
They don't do You Can Speak as a Woman. They don't really do the women characters particularly strongly on this show. Crusher was okay in this episode.
Dr. Crusher is good.
Yeah, I don't know if she holds up over the series, but so you have Troy, really? Crusher, and Yar as the three women.
Yeah, that's not as strong.
They're certainly the bottom. If you were to rank the characters, all the women are at the bottom, I think.
Yeah, yes. Yes, they are. I mean, Crusher's a strong character, and her intelligence is needed.
Yep.
On the show, I mean, she serves a role that I don't think anyone else could fill. Versus Troy, who
the doctor role is like, especially because they always bump into weird things that they can't explain. Like, so a doctor role is kind of important.
Yeah.
Troy's misused, And Yar is just poorly written.
I would, as I continue to watch Star Trek, I would like to see Crusher actually create something rather than just use her scanner that tells her exactly what's going on. She always says she can, like, create these drugs and do these operations, but I haven't been able to see one yet.
Well, in the seventh season, she has an episode where she writes erotic fiction about a ghost that was having sex with her grandmother.
Nice.
And that's legitimately a plot that happens.
Seriously?
Yeah.
That's amazing.
She visits.
I wonder if maybe Troy can really pick that apart for us and tell us.
Maybe she can't tell her how she feels.
Yeah.
How her sexually.
Be like, this is an erotic poem and it's erotic.
Dr. Crusher is very aroused right now. Clearly.
Yeah.
So, 3.5, huh?
And the more I think about it, I'm thinking a 3.
Because I don't want to give the 0.5s to things that don't really deserve it.
And I don't, and what I think...
Is it Heart of Glory? Did you watch the one where the conspiracy, the ambassador comes on and he has Picard vetted to see if he's a traitor?
No.
Okay. That's my favorite episode of the first season so far.
Yeah, I missed that one.
So
I remember hearing you guys talk about that one.
I think this episode is better as an episode, the other episode is a better cast thing. I think I'll give this a 3.5 as well.
Yeah, but see, that's what makes it not a 3.5 for me is that I want to see the cast at work. You know, I didn't get to see... Again, didn't get to see Data, didn't get to see
Geordi. Didn't do anything. Yep.
And Riker
was okay.
Well, Riker just had his weird, like...
Yeah, he had that shot where he had to stand frozen for 20 seconds as the guy was shocking him.
Electrocuted by the Onari. And then when he came to, he was just like, whoa.
It was the Chappelle fit. Just got raped. Got to walk it off.
Yeah, walk it off. Insides are shaking, but walk it off.
My insides are shaking. Yeah, Riker gets shocked by the guy and just stands up. My insides are shaking. It's terrible.
Yeah, true Riker fashion. Just cool as a cucumber.
No, he's a totally cool dude.
Yep.
Who's your favorite cast member so far?
Oh, Data.
Data.
Yeah, definitely. Love Data.
We've been skipping around. You've watched a lot of good episodes from later seasons.
Yeah, I do often request when we sit down to watch TV, can we please watch a good Star Trek episode? And the good ones are very good.
Mm-hmm.
I'll give it that.
Any final thoughts?
Not really. Just don't do drugs.
Is that your professional opinion?
Yeah. They seem bad according to Symbiosis.
Yeah, it's definitely a bad thing. But you can... Or if you pick up people and one guy is wearing pimp clothing, you can definitely tell that he's a bad guy.
I know, it's like lusty girlfriend who...
I thought she was going to try to seduce Picard. Is that what she was trying to do?
I think she was going in that direction. Can I talk to Picard?
Can I talk to you in private?
In private. Yeah. Yeah, she's worked that before. Breckian whore.
Good points all around.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, Miss Amy, for joining
me. You're welcome. I know. No replacement for Clay, but I'll fill in when needed.
Well, whatever. Yeah. You can be my Dr. Crusher. I will plug you into whatever situation needs to happen.
Or I can be like Troy, and I'll just say obvious things.
Am I enjoying this episode?
You seem to be enjoying it, by the way you're sitting up.
I am enjoying it.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Good.
Okay.
Good to see you. Well, thank you, everybody, for listening. A little bit of housekeeping before the episode ends. You can go to thepenskypodcast.com. That's thepenskypodcast.com. You can get all the podcasts there. You can subscribe on iTunes. And if you're listening on YouTube or iTunes, it is much appreciated if you could leave a like or a comment or a review on iTunes. I know these things are huge pains in the ass, but it's always helpful to me and mine if you could get that done. Thank you very much, everybody. And I will see you next time with, what the hell's the next episode? Oh, Skin of Evil. The end of Tasha Yar. You going to watch that one with me?
Sure.
Okay. Yeah. Well, say goodbye.
Okay. Bye, guys.
See ya.